Hey, good morning, every nation, New Jersey. God bless you. Pastor Adam Berth here, and listen, I just want to thank all of you for joining us here on a Sunday morning, and I also want to say that it's great to be with you. I've had a couple weeks not preaching, and so I may preach an hour, so I can't be held responsible for that, all right? But as always, I hope you have your cup of joe. I'm a little bit disappointed because Starbucks has their holiday cups out, and I wanted to get one. Is it just me, or does the coffee taste better in the holiday cups? Talk amongst yourselves on that one. But I hope you got your coffee and your Bible, because we're going to be in the Word of God. And listen, I can feel the changing of the seasons. And honestly, that's what I want to talk to you this morning about the seasons of our life. And you know, there is a book in your Old Testament. It's called Ecclesiastes. Please don't make me spell it, okay? But Ecclesiastes, that word, it actually means the teacher. And we're going to have Solomon, the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, the teacher, is going to teach us some things about the seasons of our life. But before we get into that, I, as always, I need to take up our tithe and our offering. And so I'm not sure if you've been up with current affairs in the last couple weeks, but I'm sure many of you heard about the passing of iconic rock star Eddie Van Halen. And it got me to thinking and reminded me about Van Halen's infamous M&M clause. Do you remember this? That when they would go to rock venues for their concerts, they had a contract that was the size of a small phone book. And in it, embedded in the middle of this contract, was just what was called the M&M clause. And here's what it said. It said that if in the green room where the rock stars hang out before the concert starts, and they have all these beverages and just food and all that kind of stuff, they said in the green room there needs to be a bowl of M&Ms, but there can't be one brown M&M in the jar. And if there is one brown M&M, then the venue has voided the contract and they lose the right to all the proceeds. Is that crazy? Or what? They called it, it's a tripwire clause, because what that let Van Halen know is that, oh, you didn't read the contract. And so it alerted them to the fact that the venue did not read all the safety protocols and all that type of thing. And you know what? A time like this where we take up the tithe and the offering, it becomes like a tripwire clause in our life, and it reveals something about our heart. The Bible is going to say this in Matthew 6, verse 21. Jesus says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so while it's great, we sing songs and we sing of our love for God and we profess our love for God in prayer, but moments like this reveal what's really in our heart, because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is also. And so there's three ways you can give your tithe and your offering. You can either go to our website, encnj.org, and just click on the giving icon, or you can go to our PushPay. It's a texting platform whereby you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, or you can also mail in your tithe and offering to our church here at 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plains, New Jersey. God bless you as you give. And so I'm excited about the message today, and so I want to start with a story like I normally do. And I don't know about you, but like the holidays, I get real nostalgic, and right around this time, you know, I start thinking about engagements. Like a lot of people are going to get engaged over the holidays, and I remember some 31 years ago, around this time, I got engaged to my wife, Susan, and it actually is not a fond memory for me. Because if I could go back in time, I would tell that guy, champ, no, don't do it. And it has nothing to do with my wife and everything to do with the way I proposed. I won't get into all the details, but it involved golf clubs. So as you can tell, it probably not the most romantic thing in the world to do. So let's just forget about that. But can I tell you about what I feel like is probably the greatest engagement story I've ever heard in my life. And you might have been familiar with this one, but this is a true story that a pastor, this is how he proposed to his wife. And so he actually picked up his wife, and he just had like a little beater Honda Accord, and he picks up his girlfriend, and he drives her over to a lake. And as they arrive at the lake, there's a boat waiting for them. And so they both climb into the boat. He gets in, and they whip around the lake, and they arrive at, there's this little island that rests on the lake. And on the island, there's a blanket laid out and a picnic basket, and they sit and they eat food. And she's like, man, this is just such a romantic date. And as after they finish eating their food, they get back in the boat and they whisk around the lake again. And then this time though, when they get to the shore, the car's no longer there, and now there's a limo waiting for them. And so they climb into the limo, and the limo whisks them away to an airfield. And in that airfield is a small Cessna airplane waiting for them. Once again, did I tell you this is an amazing engagement story? They climb into the Cessna airplane, and as they fly around for just a short distance, they land in a very tiny airfield. And as they land the plane, she can see a chapel off in the distance. And so when they get out of the airplane, there's an old beat up pickup truck waiting for them. They climb into the pickup truck and they drive away, clunk, 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 and they arrive to the chapel. He looks at her and she says, we'll go up to the front. And so she goes up to the front and she sees an envelope waiting for her. And as he says, open it up. And as she's opening up and reading it, it says, will you? And boom, he pops to his knee and he proposes to her. Is that an awesome, awesome engagement? Now, it's much better than giving your fiance golf clubs, all right? But it even gets better, because after he proposed to her, he took her to dinner and he let her know this. Do you know every one of those vehicles, they represent a season of our life? And so he said this, that his car, his little Honda Accord, he says that represents just the normalcy of life, that every day, the day to day, I'm going to be there. He says this, that the boat represents seasons of fun and laughter, where love and joy are easy. Life is easy and fun. And then the limo represents seasons of our life where we're unable to work things out on our own, and we need to invite others in our life to help us through difficult seasons. He says the airplane represents the seasons of our spiritual life together as we soar into the sky in our walk with God. And then he says the truck, the old beat up truck, it's the season of our life when we've grown old and we start to fall apart a little bit. And so if that is not the coolest and the greatest and most profound engagement, I've yet to hear a better one. And I got to say this, having been married for 31 years, I want to tell you this. I think what he says is true, that a marriage is such a great example of walking through seasons together with somebody. Like in my 31 years, I mean, there's this been moments where love is easy, there's joy, there's laughter, and then there's other seasons where it's like, oh my goodness, are we going to make it, right? And so the seasons of our life are unbelievably important and formative for our life. And so I want to talk to us about seasons. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13. And now what I want you to know is this, is that Solomon, and I'm trying to get in my head, I wonder how Solomon proposed. Because do you know he had 700 wives? I don't know how he pulled that off, all right? But I'm going to read for you this text, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 13. And listen, if you're over 60, this verse is going to sound unbelievably familiar to you. Or if you've seen the movie Forrest Gump, this will sound familiar to you. And so let's read together. Ecclesiastes 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. He says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? Verse 10, Solomon says, I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Father, I thank you for this time we could spend together. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would be just become aware of the seasons that you give to us, and may we grow from it, and may it stir our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So listen, I got a simple outline for us this morning, 3 points, because I'm a pastor. And so my outline for you today is this, is as we walk through seasons of our life, I want you to get wisdom from it. Number two, I want you to give thanks through it, and I want you to have hope in it. And so that's where we're headed here. And so point number one is this, is that as we walk through these different seasons that Solomon pointed out to us, listen, I want you to have the perspective of I need to get wisdom from it. I need to pull wisdom from the season that God is having me to walk through in. And so if I can just share a little bit of my life with you is like I've had these seasons of my life. You know, one of the there's painful seasons that we walk through, don't we? And it's funny, my earliest recollection of a moment that kind of hit me, and this may sound strange, but it was in seventh grade, and so I don't even know how old you would be then, but I remember in seventh grade, I was in Mrs. Meese's class, and listen, I don't remember anybody's name, so the fact that I remember Mrs. Meese was my teacher lets you know how much this impacted my life. And so I can remember, you know what it's like, seventh grade, you're in middle school, you got like all these hormones going on, you're insecure, and you know, I was trying to be the cool guy in my class and all that, and I remember about a quarter of the way through the semester, Mrs. Meese had me stay after school, and she sat me down, and she looked at me in my face, and she says, Adam, you know, this is the worst class I've ever had in my 25 years of teaching, the very worst. And she says, you know what the problem is with this class? She says, the problem is you. And I just remember like just being devastated. And I remember my little seventh grade soul is just crushed. And as I'm tearing up and I'm trying not to blink because the tears are filling up in my eyes. And listen, I got over it emotionally, but I learned something that day. While that was a painful moment for my little seventh grade soul, I learned this, that leadership is both a gift and a responsibility. See, what Mrs. Meese knew is that the kids were going to follow my example. And so I can't remember. I believe it was Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, right, who says, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think it's the Bible that says this, that to whom much is given, much will be required. And so I learned something that day that while leadership is a gift, it's also a great responsibility. How about this? I've had some really high points in my life. Not the least of which is the birth of my children. And I can remember the first child we have, our daughter Cassie, and my wife and I, we'd made all these consecutive trips to the hospital, false alarms, right? And so this time when she felt like she was having contractions, I'm like, listen, baby, we are not leaving this hospital till we have a baby. And so we go in there and so the baby's still a long ways off, but the doctor's keeping us at the hospital, and my wife's having these contractions. Well, it's going into like several hours, And finally, my wife, she looks at me and she's like, baby, I'm hungry. And I don't know if you've been in that room before, but you're only allowed to have ice chips and stuff like that. They want your stomach empty, and you know, they don't want you having your body having to overload or anything like that. And so my wife's, I'm starving. I'm like, baby, the doctor said no. I'm a bit of a rule follower, okay? And suddenly this voice manifested in her. I said, I'm hungry. It wasn't quite like that, but I was like, fine. And so I snuck down in the hospital. They had a Friendly's ice cream shop, and I snuck her up somehow a banana split. And my wife doesn't even like banana splits. But in that moment, when you're into having contraction pains and whatnot, it seemed to do the trick. Just a little note to my husbands out there. When your wife is in labor, just shut up and do what she says, okay? And so I can remember that moment. And then finally, you know, the pushing started and all that. But in a moment, suddenly, my daughter was born, and I got to put her in my hands. And I just can't begin to describe to you the flood of emotion and love. It literally is indescribable, and it's uncomparable. There's no other love I can compare it to. And here's what's even crazier. 29 years later, I think that love has done nothing but grow. And listen, I learned something from that high season in my life, that God reveals himself as the Heavenly Father, that's the kind of love that God loves you and me with as his children. And so I learned something in that season. But how many know there's also low seasons? I remember there's been moments, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, where physically we just fall apart and unravel. I can remember back in, I believe it was 2000, I had three back surgeries in 1 year, and complications begin to mount. And then I was in the hospital so long that I wound up getting a staph infection that actually infected my blood. It began to attack my vital organs. And so here's what I remember as I just was stuck in a hospital for over a month, is that I just felt so helpless. And like, I've always been physical and strong, and suddenly I'm weak and I'm helpless. And I remember just feeling so alone. But in that dark moment, here's what I learned. I learned this, that health is not a right. It's a gift. Health is, you're not guaranteed health. And so listen, every moment you wake up with no pain, man, that's nothing but a gift from God and his goodness. And so I learned something. And so listen, don't race through the seasons of your life, but you need to mine the gold from whatever season God has you in. Like if you're in a low season, a painful season, don't waste your pain, but get what God has for you. What is God trying to work in you through it? If you're in a high season, hey, don't blow through that, but begin to learn ways that you can give thanks. What is God doing in your season of life? And so I remember about a week ago, Susan and I went to a hardware store, Lowe's Hardware. And so we went in there and we were looking for some items. And then one of the ladies that worked there, her name was Jojo, that Jojo came over to help us. She's unbelievably kind and nice and very helpful, young little girl. And listen, get this, she had blue hair. And so I just couldn't help myself. But the moment Jojo left, I just looked at my wife, Susan. And I was just like, we all see it. We all see it. And so if you've seen that Geico commercial, you know what I'm talking about. If not, you probably have no idea. But that Geico commercial is they talk about a guy like Dr. Rick trying to help kids that as they grow to be adults, they mysteriously turn into their parents. But do you know what? That's God's end goal for you and for me. That, listen, you are either being conformed into the image of your Heavenly Father or being deformed by your circumstances and the seasons of your life. But here's the great news. While you don't get to choose your seasons, you do get to choose how you react in your season. And so will you choose to mine the gold from it and get something good and be conformed into the image of your Heavenly Father, or will you allow your circumstances to deform you? And the good news is, you get to choose. Listen, here's point number two is this, is that whatever season you're in, we need to give thanks through it. We need to give thanks through the season. And so, I just heard the greatest story. There's the Baltimore Orioles. They have, I believe he's a first baseman. His name is Chris Davis. And Chris Davis, he's a fantastic baseball player, but he went through the longest hitless streak in Major League Baseball history. He went 0-54. That it shattered every other record. And so, listen, I don't know if you've ever been in a slump before. You don't have to be an athlete to have been in a slump where it just seems like your life is a train wreck and you just can't seem to get out of it. Well, that's Chris Davis, 0-54. And he just began to be pressing and pressing and pressing as he went to the plate and could never seem to get a breakthrough to get a hit. And so Baltimore traveled up to Boston to play the Red Sox at Fenway Park. And before the game, that somehow a little 9-year-old boy by the name of Henry Fresca got a letter to Chris Davis. And Davis, before the game, he opened up this letter. I'd like to read it to you. It reads like this. Dear Mr. Davis, from Henry Fresca, a 9-year-old kid and a diehard Red Sox fan. So he wasn't even a Baltimore fan. And little Henry says this. There are two things I want you to know. He says, first, the way you play baseball has nothing to do with how good a person you are. Also, you are incredible. You've played in the MLB, the Major League Baseball. You've done it for a long time, and everyone goes through a slump. He says, don't give up. We're rooting for you. Is that amazing? Davis recounts that he actually folded up that letter and put it in his uniform. And do you know what happened? That night, Chris Davis went 3-for-5 and got out of his slump. And so he also went on to say he keeps that letter now stashed in his Bible. But here's what happened to Chris Davis, and I think happens to you and I. See, Davis began to be fixated, became myopic on all that was wrong and busted in his life. And he became blind to all these blessings. And it took a 9-year-old boy to point out, hey, Chris Davis, you got a lot of really good things going on in your life. Like you play Major League Baseball. That's 1% of the people on the planet get to do that. Like, man, you're really good. And he was reminding him of all that was right and good in his life. And it broke him out of that slump. And listen, I want to remind you that man, you have 1,000 blessings around your life. And so don't fixate on all that's wrong and broken in your life. Where will you fix your focus? Listen, I want to contrast. There's two people that in your scriptures, Daniel and Eve, and I would love to contrast the way these two people saw their life. Like if you're familiar with the prophet Daniel in your Old Testament, you realize he really had a tough time. Like Daniel, as a young boy, was ripped from his nation, from his family. He became a POW and an enslaved in Babylon. Do you know that most theologians believe that he was castrated because he had to stand in the king's court? I mean, that's a rough go of it. And he had all these death threats over his life. The one you'll probably be most familiar with is that it said that anyone that worshipped another god other than the king, that they would be thrown into the lion's den. But do you know what Daniel did after he received his death sentence? It says he went back, like he does every day, 3 times a day. He dropped to his knees and he gave thanks. I mean, I read that and I'm like, give thanks for what, Daniel? Look at all these bad things in your stuff. But not Daniel. Daniel had trained his eyes to fixate on the thousands of little blessings that God has on him. And I want to tell you something. Daniel thanked his way out of the lion's den. And I want to tell you, if you're going through it, you can thank your way out of broken circumstances. And so I promise you this, Daniel didn't always feel thankful, but yet he chose to give thanks. We're coming up on this week, we're coming up on Thanksgiving Can I just highlight to you the fact that it's not called Thanksgiving? It's called Thanksgiving. It's where we choose to take note of all that's good and all that's right in our life, and we give God the thanks for it. Listen, God even commands you and I to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, it's going to say, give thanks in all circumstances. And that's not for God's sake, that's for your sake and for my sake. Do you know that all the secular research is going to say this, that if you'll take a moment and be deliberate and give thanks for all that's good and right in your life, do you know that all the measurables for human flourishing, they skyrocket? Like you'll be happier, you'll be healthier, you'll live longer, you'll sleep better. See, all these things, what? By taking a moment and giving thanks for all that's good and right in your life. And so I don't know about you, but listen, I am going to choose to give thanks in my life. And maybe you don't want to. Maybe you want to have the eyes of Eve. Do you remember Eve's story in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3? Like Eve, do you know this? That God gave Adam and Eve everything there was. Be fruitful and multiply. He gave them everything but one thing. He says, you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did Eve do? She fixated on the one thing that she couldn't have, and she became blind to everything that she did have. And listen, that one thing cost her everything. And so my appeal to you this morning is this: what are you fixing your eyes on? Is it the one thing, the difficulty in your life, and are you becoming blind to all the blessings of God? I choose to have a bountiful eye, the eyes of Daniel. And here's point number three is this. So remember, number one is get wisdom from it. Number two, give thanks through it. And number three, in our seasons, have hope in it. Like, have hope in it. And so I want to ask you a question that someone asked me years ago, and I'm so grateful that they did. What is your unfair advantage? Did you know you have an unfair advantage? I'll never forget. I was sitting with was doing the wedding of one of these men that I was speaking with. They had a destination wedding in Cancun. For the record, if you have a destination wedding, I would love to do your wedding. In fact, Susan, I know you're watching this, my lovely wife. If there's destination weddings, my wife's going to be at that wedding. But if your wedding is in like Paterson, New Jersey, probably won't see my wife with me on that time. All right. Can't say I blame her. And if you're from Paterson, God bless you. I still love you, but you know, it's true. All right. But, hey, what's your unfair advantage? Like I was sitting with these group of young men, and I was thinking about like maybe doing a podcast and doing some different things to help push out the message of the gospel. And here's what they said. They said, PA, they said, don't you realize you have an unfair advantage? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, how many pastors played in the National Hockey League? Very, very few. He says, well, that can become your unfair advantage. I want to ask you, what is your unfair advantage? And if you in case you can't think of any, can I give you one? Your unfair advantage is this, is that while circumstances may be out of your control, that you and I serve a God who's sovereign over everything. Like, He controls it all, and He loves you with the love of a father. And so you and I have an unfair advantage, the hope that is in Christ Jesus. And listen, you guys remember that biblical hope is not, oh, I hope this works out, but it rather, biblical hope is a confident expectation for good. And so whatever season you're walking through right now, listen, you and I can have a quiet confidence, a hope that can propel us through our difficult seasons. And so maybe when we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, all these different seasons in our life, maybe a helpful perspective would be this. Don't look at them as seasons, but rather view them as ingredients. Like, do you know that God is putting together a recipe to conform you into His image? And so each of these ingredients help to make that happen. So I'm a big Food Network cooking show. Like when we were under quarantine, man, it was HGTV and Food Network nonstop, you know. And have you ever seen that show Hell's Kitchen? You ever seen that one with Gordon Ramsay? And listen, I don't know if you know that. I just heard this the other day that those contestants on Hell's Kitchen, that, you know, afterwards, they're so disturbed that it's mandatory after the show, they have to go get a psychiatric evaluation, and they also get a day at a spa where they get massages, therapy, and can meditate. Is that crazy? Like, that's how intense the trauma is for those chefs to be on that show. But listen, I think, man, our life, the hope we have in God is not like Hell's Kitchen, but maybe I can give you Heaven's Kitchen. Heaven's Kitchen is more like Chopped. Have you seen this show? Like Chopped, what they do is they give these chefs a mystery basket, and they open up the basket, and there's all these insane ingredients. Like, they got here inside the basket, you have a Pop-Tart, a goat's heart, a lima bean, lima beans. And for the record, who on earth likes lima beans? Like, they are disgusting, right? You can put, if you agree, give me an amen in the chat box or something, man. So we give you got lima beans, and then there's mascarpone. There's always mascarpone in the basket. I don't know why. And so you get these ingredients, like, how on earth would these ever go together, and can you make something out of it? But listen, these chefs, man, 20 minutes, boom, 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 and suddenly what do? They present this beautiful dish. And as they begin to taste it, they're like, I present to you a goat's heart sautéed in a mascarpone reduction sauce with a side of lima beans with a Pop-Tart crumble. And you eat it, and it's delicious and fantastic. And you're like, how did they do that? And you know that's God's story. We read in our text that Jesus, He has a way of making all things beautiful in its time. How He does it, I have no idea. It seems impossible. But just like these chop chefs, boom, 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 God's able to make something beautiful out of our mess. And so a lot of times, like, I find when I read this text, we approach the seasons of our life like a buffet, don't we? Like if it was up to me, I would pick all the good things. If I'm looking in our text, man, I would pick a time to love. I want a time for peace. I want a time to speak. I want a time to find. I want a time to be born. I don't want the other things, right, that are difficult and hard. But here's the reality. If you take out the difficult things, the recipe, it doesn't work. See, there's God will allow us to walk through some difficult things that don't taste good, but in the end, it's part of the recipe. And so listen, you can take flour, and if you ever eat flour by itself, I don't even know if you can do that. It's disgusting. Eggs, have you ever like done the Rocky thing and try and just drink raw eggs? Not very pleasant. Butter, milk, like individually, none of those taste good on their own. Maybe the milk, I'll give you that, all right? But when you mix them all together, you know what you get? You get cake. You get something very delicious and beautiful. And that's what God has the ability to do in my life and in yours. And so I'll end with this last story. You know, just because you're a Christian does not mean that you won't walk through difficult seasons in your life. And I don't know what season you're walking through, but I don't know who this is for this morning. But if you're in a dark, difficult season, can I comfort you with this? I was reading a book by a pastor out of Portland, Oregon. His name is Pastor John Mark Comer, and he's a prolific author, pretty deep thinker, and he has a book. It's just called My Name Is Hope, and he tells his personal testimony of going through just this season of depression and darkness where the world was gray. And he felt himself spiraling downward, despite the fact he could preach, he could do all these other things. On the outside, he could fake like he was doing good. But inside, he was dying, despite the fact that he was a Christian. And then he tells, he was in a particular meeting, he was preaching, and afterwards he was waiting and greeting certain people. And then he had this odd moment where this young lady walked towards him. She looked at him, and it was as if everything stopped in the room. And he introduced himself. He says, "Hey, my name is Pastor John Mark Comer." And the girl looked at him, shook his hand, and she says, "Me? My name is Hope." And she released his hand and walked away. And his words are, she just faded into the crowd. But he says something changed in his life as he heard the name Hope. "My name is Hope." And it began the crack of light in his soul as he realized this. You know that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I want to introduce you to hope. Like Jesus, he wants to come into your life. He wants to be your Savior and your Lord and resurrect the dead parts of your soul. And so if you'd like to receive Jesus this morning, if you would just take a moment and pray a simple prayer with me, you can repeat it after me or just type in the word amen, maybe in the Facebook chat, but just pray with me. Father, thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. I believe Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price for my sins and rose again on the third day. Lord, I repent for my sins. Jesus, come into my life, resurrect my heart, and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, man, would you please just put in amen. Listen, we want to know you, and we celebrate God, all God's going to do in your life. And listen, for those of you that already know Jesus, as we're approaching Thanksgiving week, can I just pray that I'm going to pray right now that God would give you eyes to see all that's good and right in your life. And Father, I pray that this Thanksgiving, that each and every one of us would take that moment and you'd give us eyes to see your goodness in the earth, in Jesus' name. Hey, listen, guys, I've just been enjoyed being back here preaching with you. And I want to remind you of two things that at 11 a.m., if you're in need of prayer, we have our virtual prayer counselor available to you on our Facebook live feed. That's at 11 a.m. Also at 11 a.m., listen, if you prayed the prayer of faith to receive Jesus, or you would just like to speak with a pastor, we have what we call virtual hospitality. At 11 a.m., you can join us on our Zoom virtual conference call number. It'll be made available to you immediately following this broadcast on one of our slides, and you can call in at 11 a.m. We would love to meet with you and pray with you. Listen, every nation, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. God loves you, and I think you're pretty great too.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.